This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer of the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. Well, Chris, Joe Shane introduced himself to the world yesterday. I don't know what people were expecting with regard to that presser. I don't care that it wasn't fire and brimstone like Joe Judge's. Oh, I thought he was very transparent, to use a word that's completely overused in the English language nowadays. But he kind of laid out his plan. I guess it's pretty clear that they're going to try and build around Daniel Jones based on his response to the question asked yesterday, huh?
Well, that's what he said, yeah. Very young guy, like you said, very transparent. He talked about what he wanted to build.
Yeah.
How he wanted to change things around. Obviously, Daniel was a big part of it. And he made it clear that, you know, he feels they could build around Daniel. I reported this a couple of weeks ago that the three finalists all like Daniel. They felt he got the short end of the stick. I think that was the words I used in the last podcast. Hmm. And a lot of things, you know, didn't go his way. Coordinators, injuries, offensive line, you know, get him with bragging about he was going to build offensive line, and he didn't do that 3 years Jones was here.
Yeah.
Scheme-wise, coordinators, head coaches. That's why I asked Shane that yesterday, you know, how he feels about him. And I think he made it pretty clear. I don't think he was bullshitting, you know. I heard this before. He even got the job, and then he got the job. And he told the Giants Nation yesterday, right, how he feels about Jones. And now, look, things could always shift in another direction. But that's how he does feel, because I heard that before he was even – you know, before he was hired or any presser, obviously, yesterday. So this is what they feel. They feel that Jones is a kid that could do some things, but you're going to have to help him. And that's what he said yesterday. Because look, Shane said he told during the presser, he mentioned the offensive line. And then he met with us afterwards on the side and was talking some more. And he mentioned offensive line again. Mm. And he said, listen, we got to get some better players in here, you know.
That's at least it. He's smart enough to see that, right?
Right. I mean, after what we heard last year in camp about, you know, Gettleman basically mocking everybody, you know, when we asked about the offensive line, he was basically like, well, maybe you guys are worried, but we're not. Yeah. Okay, well, the both guys that weren't worried, Judge and Gettleman, are both gone. So, I mean, yeah. I think we all kind of laughed at that last summer when they said that to us. Like, really? You have that? Like, who the hell had any confidence in the Giants' offensive line last year?
No one.
We were just hoping it would work out with the Matt Pertz, and obviously they had some injuries, Lemieux and the Gates go. But, you know, to actually not draft a guy and actually go in that line that had a ton of question marks was ludicrous, dude.
Yeah.
And it proved to be ludicrous.
Yeah.
And it was all the factors and injuries. You know, it had some injuries, Lemieux. But even Lemieux, we didn't know what we were going to have in him last year.
No, it wasn't. It was not a cemented
Matt
left
Pert,
guard spot.
Right. Matt Pertz couldn't beat out Nate Solder.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just, you know, so... Point being is that Joe Shane comes in and says, listen, we got to get some more talent here via the draft. Try to supplement a little free agency, which isn't going to be easy this year because, you know, he admitted they're cap strapped. And they're going to have to make some personnel moves, you know. And he was very upfront about it, Jerry. You know, he said yesterday, yeah, no, we have a problem with the cap. You know, it wasn't like he went in and told everybody, oh, no, I don't see no problem with the cap. We'll work it out. No, he was like, yeah, no, you know, we got an issue going on with the cap. And him and Kevin Abrams are going to get together next week and with the new head coach, probably, and they're going to sit down and they're going to have to start making some tough personnel decisions, which we expect. When you have no money cap-wise and you have to free up some space, you know, some guys are going to get released, bro.
You know, Chris, I'm almost glad we don't have a lot of money cap-wise, because every year, going into, you know, January, February, I think, you know, the way you build a team is through the draft. And then free agency happens, and I find myself getting caught up in free agency, and it's like, oh, let's go get this guy, let's get that guy. And then you bring guys in, and you're all excited, but that's not the way you build a team. And I admit I get caught up in it as a buffoon. But you bring in Adoree Jackson, you bring in the guys we brought in over the last few years, and you're all excited. And look, Bradberry Martinez worked out, but, you know, Golladay didn't. Adoree Jackson, we spent a lot of money. But it is the right way, and I'm just saying I'm almost glad that we have – $13,000 right now, and I know that will be adjusted and things will happen. But what he said yesterday is he doesn't want to make the big splash, or I believe he said something to that effect. that it's going to be maybe second level guys. And I just wanted to say, Chris, I know I get caught up in it every year and we have to put out an issue on free agency and who we should get, but I think it's a smart thing to do anyway.
Well, look, Jerry, even Dave Gettleman didn't want to build through free agency, yeah. But the problem was couldn't draft.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So when you can't draft, when you're missing on your draft picks, now you got to try to save your butt by going out and spending $200 million in free agency.
Yeah.
There, it really isn't any general manager in the league that says, well, I'm going to build through free agency and hope some draft. No, everybody wants to build through the draft.
Yeah.
But this what separates teams like the Bills and Joe Shane and Brandon Bean is that they drafted pretty well the last 4 years, and their draft picks are producing on the field.
Yeah.
And here they are, you know, a playoff team, what, 3 years in a row, and what, 13 seconds away from playing the second straight championship game. You know?
13 seconds.
Yeah. You know? So Shane says, you know, we got – so now the difference is, okay, now he's the man, Shane.
Yeah.
So now you got to go out and we'll see how he drafts. You know, that's the difference, Jerry, you know, because no general manager wants to spend $200 million in free agency. Nobody.
Yeah.
But when you can't draft, you know, and look, Jerry, you know, there's a couple things I want to get into. You know, I reported this numerous times that, A, they got to, these scouts, whoever the hell these last 4 years, they got to get the hell out of there. And B, they're not going to get the hell out of there now.
I'm glad you brought up. That was my next question. Go ahead.
All right.
Good. Yep.
Because you, like I said in previous podcasts, I put it on Twitter, a new general manager is just not going to go in there and say, all right, everybody, you guys haven't drafted really well, get the hell out of the building. No. And Shane made a point of that yesterday. I know people are down on Chris Pettit, rightfully so. I can't wait to get rid of Chris Pettit.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Midwest, all the regional scouts, the Chris Pettits, they've all put in about 6 months of work.
Yeah.
And they all have their boards already, and they have this kid and this kid scout and this. So Joe Shane made a point of saying, you know, he has the power to launch people when the time comes, if he feels necessary. B, he doesn't even know these guys yet.
Right.
C, when he gets to know them, he's going to look at their boards, and then he's going to start looking at these college kids and say, well, this is what I see. And if some regional scout or Chris Pettit or – and they have him rated totally different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then Shane starts seeing that, all right, well, this guy doesn't see the same vision I have. You know, this guy doesn't have the same vision. This guy's seeing something totally different. What I'm seeing – down the road, you'll start seeing some changes made.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in those meetings to see – how differently he has guys rated compared to what our scouts do.
So would I, Jerry. So, but that's, you know, that's going to be down the road. But right now, they're going to get together.
Yeah.
And these guys are going to be around, and they're all going to be great, you know, and they're going to be putting, they're going to get their input, what they see with these college kids, senior bowls coming up, all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Combines and pro days. And then they're going to, you know, Shane's going to slowly feel out what he has in the building and who stays, who's probably going to go, who he feels isn't on the same page of what he's looking for and all that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something like he's just going to go in the building and wipe everybody out first day on the job.
Bring a flamethrower in day one. That's not going to happen.
Excuse me. I said that. And I said, you know, listen, now that could eventually happen after the draft and down the road. But Shane said yes. He goes, I don't even know these guys.
Right.
He just got there. He hasn't even met. He's probably, if he met a few of them, you know, they're all on the road, these scouts. Who's going to be down? You know, who's doing it? You know, so there's a lot of factors go into it. And I was the first one. Listen, just wipe out this building. But you can't wipe it out right now.
Yeah.
Point number two. I've been reporting for a while that how much dysfunction goes on in that building. Nobody was on the same page. Whose voice wants to be heard more than his voice? Who's not getting along? Joe Judge thinking he was the emperor, walking around like it's my way or the highway. Okay? This is all stuff I've said in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, John Mara yesterday said what happened was John, you know, he obviously introduced Joe Shane, and then afterwards Mara met with us on the side. And people were asking him questions, and Mara admitted, he goes, the last 2 years, the communication has been horrific in this building.
Yeah.
It's been bad. I mean, this is all stuff I've said. I mean, you know, this, so Mara, to his credit, Jerry, didn't have to say that.
Right.
But he said it. And he said, listen, you know, the communication's been bad in this building, man. You know, who's not getting along? Who's doing this? We got to get that straightened out. So Joe Shane has a lot on his plate, bro. You know?
Two other things Mara brought up in that second part in the, I guess it was the inside the bubble. One thing he said was, he put the Sean Watson stuff to bed. Thank God. I'm so tired of hearing that. We'd have no money. It's not happening. All that stuff against them, guys. Please stop talking about Deshaun Watson. And then the other thing was, I thought it was a little comical that he admitted. He's like, we couldn't do anything more to screw this kid up, meaning Jones. Yeah. I just thought that was like, wow, that is, I guess, not a revelation, but it's a little refreshing to hear it from your owner. Like, we have to give him a chance, which, you know, for the Jones supporters out there, this is what you wanted to hear. It's build around him and mm-hmm. see what you do. I mean, don't give him the extension. I don't think they will, but if you're not in love with a kid like Pickett or Willis or kid coming out this year, go with him another year and give him a shot, give him a chance to succeed. So just thought it was a little refreshing to hear the owner say that, Chris, that's all.
Yeah, and I was standing right next to John when he said that, Jerry. I did like a double take. Like, wow, did he just say that? Like, did John just say he screwed up this kid? You know, I was like, wow. I actually whispered to somebody next to me. He goes, did Mara just say they really screwed up for this kid? You know?
Yeah.
And they're like, yo, Chris. Yeah. I was like, wow. You know? So it was refreshing, Jerry, to hear that from the owner. Like, he's not out there trying to sugarcoat anything. You know, he's not out there like, oh, yeah, well, we had a few injuries. The only reason why we're 4-13. And we had to get rid of the coach. But whatever, because it didn't work out. Now, he's basically saying, you know, yeah, we screwed up a lot for this kid.
Yeah.
And this is what I meant about Jerry, where I've written an article for the Giant Insider, right? I've talked about it, where a lot of times Mara believes people he shouldn't be believing.
Yeah.
And it's happened.
That he's loyal to, right?
You know, I mean, here's Gettleman telling John, you know, we're good with the offensive line, you know? And John's like, okay, well, you're my general manager, you know? And I'm sure his Joe Judge and Gettleman telling John, hey, look, we're going to upgrade the backup quarterback position. You know, we're not going with Colt McCoy anymore. You know, we're going to go with we're going to upgrade it, John. Trust me, I know the game. And they bring in Glennon, who was a total and complete disaster.
Right.
You know, and John listened to some other people sometimes, and they're telling him this and that, and, you know, John being the owner, okay, you know, well, he's my general manager, he's my this, he's my that, so I guess we're going with it, you know, and it hasn't worked out, you know, so now he starts fresh, you know, to a guy look, this is all basically a nice dog and pony show, Jerry, okay? Hey, look at Shane, he says it all the right things and all that, and God bless him, my first impression, I really like the guy. What he's done in Buffalo with Brandon Bean, I really like the guy. But, Jerry, it doesn't count.
No, it doesn't matter.
Until the drafts. Mm-hmm. He's going to hire a head coach soon. We'll get into that a little bit. And that's all great. But it doesn't start counting until September when the coaches have to make pressure decisions. And we've seen a couple of coaches who are very highly regarded in this league totally and completely fail in precious situations last weekend.
Yeah.
Who froze. Okay? Mm-hmm. Veteran coaches like the Sean McDermott's, Leslie Frazier's, who froze in big spots.
Chris, can I just real quick, since you brought that name up, that is the 600th guy I would want coaching this team. I will say that now. I know we're going to get to coaching questions later on. No, absolutely never. No, I have Dan Quinn over him. So, sorry, you brought it up. It's like a nervous reaction for me when you bring up the name Leslie Frazier. And I lost my train of thought here we go. You were talking about, I was going to say, to your point, the last two introductory press conferences we had, Judge and then, well, Gettleman, I forget, Shermer. Gettleman were impressive. Even Gettleman's first one when he said, I'm coming here every day to kick ass. And that's it. That's my goal. And we thought, oh, this is awesome. This guy's going to come here and kick ass. Judge's introductory press conference was awesome. So I went into yesterday, Chris. I didn't care what the hell Joe Shane said. it's proof is in the drafting, proof is in the pudding. I didn't expect anything yesterday other than somebody who came off competent, and that was it, dude. I think any Giants fan who wanted, I don't know what anyone was looking for yesterday. That's all, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, Joe, you're not looking for a guy to go up to make a fool out of himself. Right. That would be a bad start, you know, say stupid stuff and have a suit that's too big or, you know, slick back hair, thinking he's in Hollywood in front of Steve Tisch, you know, and all that. You know, thinking maybe he's going to be in Maverick 3 or something, Top Gun 3 after his coaching career, you know, something like that. Yeah. Look, you know, Joe Shane met us before he went on the press. He was a little nervous. Rightfully so. He's a young guy. He's first time in front of him. He couldn't believe how many the media there.
I can't believe the GM's younger than me now. That's crazy to me.
Right? He was very honest with us, man, on the side. He was like, yo, man, this is different than Buffalo. I can tell you that, you know, with the media and you know, and the whole deal. And, you know, and he was very, he just seemed like a really good, humble dude. Answered all our questions, you know, and all that. And that's great, you know, and you hope you got the right guy. But, you know, Jerry, press conferences don't win football games. Giants have found that out. Yeah. I remember the Eagle fans with Sirianni. They wanted him out after the press conference. They wanted him fired.
Even during the season with the plants growing. Right? Yes.
And here's the guy who goes to the playoffs. You know, so the point being is that he was very impressive, and that's a good sign. He kind of made a clear vision. He gave us a clear vision of what he wants to do. And now he just has to go out. And he has a lot of work to do, Jerry. He has to hire a head coach. Hmm. Now, Shane's going to present a head coach to Tisch and Mara. And it'll probably be by Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Saturday morning introduction. An announcement. And then Mara and Tisch are going to have to approve it. And a lot of people are like, I see a lot of people on Twitter like, well, I thought he gave Shane the authority to hire a head coach. So what the hell are they running by Mara and Tisch for? Like, and I'm looking like,
glad you brought that up.
Folks. Mara and Tisch are the owners. Yeah. Of course they got to run it by them.
I don't know what people expect with that. Like, this is not an ownership that's good. Like, ownership doesn't sit in a tower miles and miles away and say, I'll go ahead, run it how you want. It doesn't work that way. I don't know what people expect, dude.
Yeah. Mara made it clear yesterday. The GM has the authority. Draft picks. He's going to hire the coach. Of course he's going to run it by Mara and Tisch.
Yeah.
And he's going to have the authority. Now, Mara said this to us yesterday, and Joe Shane said this to us, that yes, he has the authority to make changes in the front office.
Yeah.
That means regional scouts. That means director of player personnel, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Director of college scouting, all those titles.
Yeah.
He is going to have the authority to move people around or show them the door down the road and all that. You know, so... it was very clear. But as far as the head coach, Shane's going to say, okay, I want, you know, Brian Daboll. John, this is my choice. And, of course, Mara and Tisch are going to have a voice, a say in that. They're the owners, dude. They signed,
I don't understand why people stick with that.
But Mara's giving him the authority to do everything, you know. So, and he has a lot on his plate, bro.
Yeah.
He's got to get everybody on board in the building. You know, he made a point of, hey, we got to communicate in this building. I don't want no people talking down to people in this building. You know, it's all one family. We all have to communicate. And I could tell you this, Jerry. You know, the communication was not good between, you know, Judge and a lot of people in that building. And I was reporting that a while, that it just, a lot of stuff was going on, a lot of dysfunction, bro. And I'm not going to go back to Judge now he's gone, you know. Yeah.
Sure.
But that's something that Shane's going to have to, you know, he's going to clean up. And, you know, he talked about Buffalo on the side with us about how Buffalo was like a family and everybody. And of course, people have differences, you know, and what they see here, what they want to do here. But you talk it out and say, okay, no, we're going to do that. We're going to talk. Why are you this? Why? Not like, well, I'm the supreme ruler and what I say goes, you know. And when 15 people say to Gettleman, we're really going to draft a running back in the second round, number two overall. And Dave goes, hey, I'm the general manager. This is what I'm doing. He doesn't want that, Shane.
Yeah.
Yes, he has the final determination, but he wants communication. He wants everybody hopefully get on the same page. It's never always going to be on the same page, but he wants the general idea of we're going to communicate, we're all going to be on the same page, and we're going to move this forward. You know, And, you know, listen, he was asked yesterday, too, about is this a rebuild, you know? And he said, no, I don't believe in rebuilds. I believe in progress, and we're going to try to, you know, win as we, you know, as the process moves along. Drafting players, this, that, you know, a couple free agents, supplement some guys in there. And we go out there to try to compete, brother.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, and if anybody, look, here's a general theme I got from you yesterday, Jerry. And I put it on Twitter yesterday. Mm-hmm. Nobody just throws a towel in on a season.
Right. Never.
Nobody's going to say, all right, 2022, we have no intention of making the playoffs. We're lucky we win five games. But the impression I got yesterday was that, okay, we're going to try to get much better in 2022, dude. And then we're going to see what we got with Daniel. We're going to build around this kid, you know, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2023, we're going to have a ton of cap space. Some people will be added here. There might be new scouts. And boom, 2023 is the year that we're really shooting for. But, hey, we're not going into 2022 like, well, forget about it. We're not going to do nothing this year. No. You get what I'm saying, Jerry?
That's 100%.
That's basically what Joe Shane was saying yesterday.
And if you guys, if you look at the free agents that the Giants have, 18 unrestricted, I stretched it to five, keeping five of them. I probably stretched it to that. So right there, you're going to have so much turnover just from free agents leaving this team. I would imagine, Chris, it's going to be about 20 new faces next year, give or take, 20, 25 new faces. So, yeah, like you said, you're not throwing the towel in, but realistically, you're looking at 2023, and you also have to determine if you have the right quarterback leading this franchise, which is going to be answered likely if you surround him with if you can protect him in 2022. So I
right, Jerry. I mean, that's, you know, that's basically, you know, kind of got the film. But at the same time, you know, you go out, you got the fifth and seventh pick in the draft, dude.
Trust me, dude. I'm all in on that. Yep.
So at the same time, you go out and you draft an offensive lineman and you get a guy, say Gates does come back. Say Lemieux is a solid guard. Right?
Mm.
And you draft a solid offensive lineman
that
is a starter from day one and belongs in this league. Right, Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the seventh pick, say you get an edge kid.
Mm.
So you look at the defense and you got some help for Aziz. Maybe you get an edge kid that gives you that 5 to 7 sacks. You have to account for him and all that, you know, Jerry. And then you look at it and you got that offensive line. Daniel's got healthy weapons. Dude, this is what Joe Shane was talking about. Hey, we're not throwing in the towel in 2022, you know?
Yep. And the way Buffalo drafts, you still have rounds 2 through 7, guys, not just the first one. So
Right. And, you know, you got two. What do you have, 9 picks, I think, next year's
draft? 9 picks, which I don't know why he was saying 11, but
he made a mistake. No, I could clear it up right now. Joe Shane made the mistake because he didn't realize the Billy Price thing didn't work out. He didn't realize the Santoso didn't work out.
There you go. Was 11. Perfect. Got it.
And because of the clauses in those trades, the Giants did not get an extra 2 picks.
Yeah, because it would have been an extra 4th and an extra 7th, I believe. But we have 2/3, Chris. We have 2/3.
I mean, you know, you start drafted somewhat decent. He's middle round, second round, you know. So nobody's throwing anything out for 2022. They're not throwing any out, you know. But with the cap and this and that, you're looking at really 2023, and you're looking for that real big-time progress in 2022. But that's not, you know, that's not leaving out playing really good football, Jerry, winning a lot of games, you know, maybe staying healthy for once, you know. And you got, you know, because if this offensive line, if he could improve this offensive line in a year, and Joe Shane made it a point numerous times, Jerry, yeah, we got to get some better talent in this offensive line.
Yeah.
All right. No stupid hogbolly crap.
Yeah,
no. None of this talking like, you know, he invented the game shit.
Yeah.
He just said, listen, we got to get better talent. Offensive line. Obviously, that's a position group we have to address.
A lot of guards in the second and third round, too. I've been starting to do some draft research, dude. And I'm excited for what we have to pick from. I'm not even concerned about the cap right now. I'm almost bypassing free agency to look straight at the draft because
you should.
A lot of talent, dude. There's so much. Fifth and seventh pick. Come on. I mean, that is incredible. I'm so excited about that.
They have the draft capital to really improve this offensive line, dude.
They do. There's no excuse.
You don't have to go with the free agency.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not discounting picking up a veteran, Jerry, at a decent cost.
Sure.
I'm just saying they have. It's not like the Rams. They have no number ones, and you know all that. They have two number ones, high number ones, dude.
Right. Right.
You know. So obviously, as the process moves on, we'll get into that as a draft. But it's gonna be fascinating to see what Joe Shane does in his draft. It really is.
I've done about 600 simulated drafts since about 2 weeks ago. So I've got rounds 1 through 7 all laid out, buddy. I know it never works out that way, but I'm addicted to it. All right, guys, give us we'll be right back. A word from our sponsor. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Before we get to questions, Chris, anything else we want to cover? There's a lot of head coaching questions, so we can talk about that with the questions. But
I'm sorry, Jerry, go ahead.
The one thing you said before, Judge walked around kind of like a tyrant, and again, I won't talk about this all the time, but does that concern you with Brian Flores at all?
Yeah, it does. Because Flores, listen, he's been through coordinators like he changed his underwears.
Yeah.
Patrick Graham left, and he took a lateral position with the Giants.
Yeah.
Which was unheard of. One coordinator going to another team for coordinator.
Yeah.
I know they were friends, but who the hell knows what happened there? Like, Flores just let him walk to the Giants. He went from a coordinator to a coordinator. I mean, who the hell does that?
No, I know.
You know, and now Flores, you know, all kinds of reports about he couldn't get along with the general manager. You know, he said, that's concerning. Flores is a type A personality. And we went from a type A personality to, are we going to go to another one? You know?
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. Flores is in today. And then Leslie Frazier's in tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I haven't heard anything about bringing anybody else in.
Yeah.
So I would expect a decision by Saturday. And even Maris said the earliest. I'm sorry, the latest would be early next week, you know. So
do you have a preference for who you want, Chris? Just curious.
I really don't. I really don't want Leslie Frazier. I don't think this is a good spot for him to turn the team around. Right. You know. No matter what happened the other day, Frazier's a good football guy, he is, but he's just not, you know, not a guy that should be here.
I'm also going by his Minnesota dude. I don't know. It wasn't a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he made the playoffs once. He did, you know, he had no quarterback.
Kissing Brett Favre's butt on the sidelines. That conversation you had with Favre, if you ever see it on NFL Films, is sickening. Anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I was actually surprised he actually brought him in for a second. Yeah, I know.
I agree.
But, you know, look, Patrick Graham went yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and Flores is today, and Dable. We don't know what's going to happen with Dable, bro. I know a lot of people want him. Don't know. What?
Miami's in play, too.
Well, I mean, that's the word out there. He might want to go to Miami. Maybe he feels that's a better situation, you know? I know people automatically assume he's going to pick the Giants or Shane wants them because they work together in Buffalo. You don't know how these things work out, bro.
Sorry, guys, but no state tax in Miami is a real thing. So he coached Tua in college. You could argue they have a better roster. Might be set up better there. Who the hell knows? I hope we get him, but, you know.
I mean, you know, he might feel that's a better situation for him, his family, Tua, you know, the weather, the state tax, and who the hell all these things come into play, bro?
All of it, dude. All of it.
You know? Yep. So we don't know. We don't know. Now, if Dable moves on, if he does it, I guess you assume Flores, but don't count out Patrick Graham, man.
Yeah.
Don't count out Patrick Graham.
Dark horse, baby.
You know?
Yep.
We'll see in the next few days. Obviously, if I hear something, and don't count out of Dan Quinn.
Mm.
Don't count out of Dan Quinn.
What do you think of that, Chris?
That wouldn't be the worst hire, Jerry. I'm not going to go crazy over that.
Okay.
I wouldn't go crazy over that. You know, I wouldn't be my number one choice, Jerry, to be honest with you.
Agree.
You know? That's not something I would go, you know, crazy over. See, this is what I'm talking about. You know, there was hot rumors a couple of days ago. Oh, Quinn is basically all but done. He's going to Denver. Yeah, well, they just hired Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
So you don't know how these things are going to play out. I know Quinn really impressed the Giants. He impressed Joe Shane. So we'll see how this plays out, man. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, in my order, for what it's worth, Dable and Flores, probably rather have Dable just because of, I just want an offensive guy. Not that Flores couldn't hire an offensive coordinator that works, but you know, 1 and 1A for me are Dable and Flores. Graham's next, then Quinn. And the thing that bothers me with Quinn, he came in and did a great job with Dallas, dude. But 28-3. I can't. It's hard to get over that. It's hard. I know it was Shanahan not running the clock down. But you're in charge of that. Like the first play where Shanahan leaves 15 seconds on the play clock, I am racing over to him and yelling at him like, dude, 1 second left. I don't care if you got a delay of game over it.
Yeah.
So listen, it's hard to get past that.
These are things I talk about, Jerry, when the pressure is on. How do guys respond? You know?
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, you're not Tommy Doodleball. They were throwing a ball and it gets a sack, a fumble, gets him back, you know? We'll see, man. We'll see. I know he impressed in his interview. You know, he's got a couple of playoff things. He did some good things with Dallas defense last year. So, you know, who knows if Shane wants a guy who's not a first-year head coach, Jerry. You know, maybe, you know, I don't know.
Right.
So, we're going to find that out pretty soon.
I'm glad Graham's getting a chance too, dude.
Yeah. I hate to say long shot, but he's the dark horse in this, bro.
He is.
He's the dark horse, you know?
Yep. All right, guys. Thanks for the questions. I haven't done this in a while. 72 responses, and I only sent the email or the tweet out, a few hours ago. So we'll start off with a well-known follower, well-known listener, our girl Lisa in Brooklyn. Looking at the success in Buffalo, what do you think this GM will do that mimics their success? From Lisa, Chris.
That mimics that? Well, he's going to try to – he'll be drafting guys, and I actually asked him this yesterday, too, what kind of traits is he looking for in these college kids, too, besides, obviously, talent. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
And he said, he told me, we look for character guys that are leaders, guys that love the game, you know. Any guys that comes up, you know, when I was in Buffalo, any guys that came up and somebody said something about, well, you know, he works a couple of days a week. Oh, they're out. He said, they're out.
Yeah.
He says, if you look at our locker room in Buffalo, he goes, look at our locker room. We had a bunch of leaders there. And that's some of the things. So he's going to look for guys like that. Obviously, talent is a priority. We all know that.
Yeah.
And then he's going to look for guys that carry certain traits, man, you know, and the Terrell Edmonds, like the guys up in Buffalo, man, you know, or the Matt Milanos, you know, when he brought over the Micah Hydes and he, you know, they drafted some of these guys that are leaders in that Buffalo locker room. That's what he's going to be looking to do here with the Giants.
By the way, you have to be rooting for him extra hard. He grew up like a stone's throw away from Notre Dame. He's a Notre Dame fan. Yeah. He met Bavaro, he said, when he was 4 and became a Giants fan because of it. Like, wow, this guy, from a rooting standpoint, this guy checks all the boxes.
Yeah, Indiana guy. Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm going to combine Rollins and Adriana Iafolas together because it's kind of the same question. What do you guys think about bringing in Trubisky to compete with Jones? You think that's going to be a possibility, Chris?
Not to compete, really, but I can see a Trubisky coming. Look, they're going to have to upgrade the backup quarterback position. Obviously, Shane knows him from Buffalo, so you could see that.
Yep. Oscar Nieves, watch the presser. Loved your question, Chris. What were some other questions you were considering?
Well, actually, the first one where he asked if this was a kind of a rebuild, how did he view it? Mm-hmm. And Russ Salzburg stole that from me, as usual. so that I had a shift to the Daniel Jones one. So that was one of the ones I was going to ask. Yeah, that one.
Russ, that's funny.
You know, that was one of the ones I was going to ask right there. How do you consider it, if he considered this kind of a rebuild, and how does he view
that? Chris, I have a question for you. Why the hell do people keep talking about Doug Peterson? Why are they putting odds on Doug Peterson with the same odds as Brian Flores? He should be like plus 5,000.
But he hasn't got an interview.
I know. Why?
They never brought him in the building. I mean,
Pro Football Talk put it out. Like, it was like plus 400 for Dable, plus 500 for Flores, and then plus 500 for Peterson. I'm like, Doug Peterson? I mean, and by the way, you want to piss me off, hire Doug Peterson. I would hate that move, but whatever.
Well, until he comes in for an interview, Jerry, I'm not even going to consider it.
It's stupid.
I mean, that's something, you know, if a guy received an interview, then you start putting stuff like that out. He hasn't got an interview, so. And this is crunch time, bro. I mean, you know.
Big Blue at Lewis_BigBlue. Thanks for all you guys do. It seemed Dable was the primary choice. Are these additional head coach interviews because the Giants have soured on Dable? No. They're casting the net the same way they did for GM. I mean, they just they want to bring in as many people and get, you know, opinions on everybody, guys. It has nothing to do with salary on Dable. If anything, he's probably the front runner, I would imagine. But here you go, Chris. Elizabeth Contreras, would you rather be a GM or a head coach? Question for both of you guys. Nice. That's easy for me. I'd rather be a GM. Absolutely.
Me?
Yeah.
I'd rather be the head coach.
Would you?
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
And, you know, just you know, hot off the thing here. I mean, I see reports all over that Dan Quinn's going back to Dallas too.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Just saw that as well. It just popped up.
Yeah.
I see Dan news breaking. Maybe we'll get a head coach. The last two podcasts we had, you know, shit went down. So we'll see. Bobby L, no question. Just want to say thanks for being a real honest, straightforward podcast. Can't wait to listen. Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Jerry, just quickly, one guy I was surprised they didn't bring in. I thought they would bring in Brian Leftwich.
So did I. Absolutely right. Yep.
I was a little surprised they haven't brought in Leftwich.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not surprised about Bieniemy because of everything we've heard with the interviewing, and they met him last time. But you're right. I'm very surprised they didn't bring in Leftwich. Here we go. Take a lap, Joe Judges. What are each of your thoughts on NFL overtime? Hashtag Wyoming buffoon.
I have no problem with the way it is.
I don't either. Stop complaining because you lost. I mean, they improved that years ago with if you kick a field goal, you get to answer. Hey, guys, it's a touchdown. You got to stop them. I didn't care. I thought when that game was over, that game was over. That's it. By the way, did you think that was one of the best games you've ever seen, Chris?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Exciting, right?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Let's see. Oh, great question. The Cranky Fan at The Cranky Fan. Would the Giants in 2022 have the patience for Phil Sims, who missed 43 games and only won 14 games in his first 5 years? Hey, Cranky Fan, the NFL wouldn't have the patience for Phil Sims. It just doesn't work that way now.
Yeah,
right?
I know, really.
Isn't that amazing?
I don't think any team would.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a different league now, man.
Completely different. There's a from Mike Mutie. There's a lot of chatter about not drafting a center in parentheses Linderbaum higher than 18. It's a cardinal sin. If the guy can be the center and we need for a decade, then who cares? Would you go tackle at 5 and Linderbaum at 7? I can go first if you want, or you can answer.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't care if you took Linderbaum at 5. Because a few years ago, they said you can't take a guard at 2, and that guy's headed to the Hall of Fame. Right, Chris? What'd you say? He's the only gold jacket guy from that draft so far. I mean, Josh Allen's on his way, but, you know, from those first few picks. Dude, if you want to take Linderbaum at 5 or 7 or trade down and think you're going to get him, I don't care. That kid is great. His comparable is Jason Kelsey, who is a thorn in our side, who's been, you know, is going to the Hall of Fame. So, dude, 5-7, you want to trade down and get him? I could care less. And the other one, you know, with that other pick, tackle or edge rusher, I do not care. You know, it doesn't matter, man.
It's all positions they need. So,
right. You know. They need a lot, and they need impact, like you say. They need impact right away. There's another one, Rich Savner. What do you guys think of drafting Ekwonu at 5 and trading the 7 pick? Yeah, I mean, listen, if you can trade 7 down, I've been looking at this for a while. If you trade 7 to say, I don't know, the Vikings at 12 or I think the Browns are at 13, and you get another second round pick because you did that because they want to jump up and grab someone, go for it, guys, because you're going to get – there's quality linemen in the second round. This is a top-heavy draft with linemen, and we're going to have draft guys on that know a lot more than I do about it who are going to tell you the same thing. So right. I would absolutely be willing to do all that, dude. I'll ask this one too. Chode Man at Chode Man 23. Is there any way Shane looks at the best talent on the board in the draft? We end up with Kyle Hamilton.
I don't know. I have no idea what he's gonna do.
Who knows, man? I think Kyle Hamilton would be a luxury pick. I think if he's there somehow, which he won't be at 7, if the Jets don't grab him at 4, if they take Stingley instead, then maybe he goes to 7. But you know, that's a luxury pick that. You know, you already took that. Meant to me, that means Neil, Thibodeau, or Hutchinson somehow fell to 5. And then it's like, okay, well, I don't care what we do at 7 now. Let's take Kyle Hamilton. He's the best, the best player available next. We'll do one more. Cody Kaiser. If they hire a defensive coach, Chris, Any hopes on who you want the OC to be? Not necessarily dot connecting, just guys that may be ready for OC that probably haven't been one yet.
That have guys that are ready to be OC that haven't been one yet?
Or someone they want to bring along. Like, say they hire
Probably, probably what's his name? Kenny Dorsey.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Probably passing Dorsey. Coordinator.
He looks like he's about ready to call plays and run an offense. So probably him would be on the top of the list.
Were you surprised by Wink Martindale being out in Baltimore?
Yeah. I mean, look, he's done a good job there. You know, a lot of times, you know, I heard Harbaugh wasn't happy with a lot of things he did this year when the other team got in plus territory.
Yeah.
He was calling a lot of the same calls that Harbaugh was getting a little pissed off about. But, you know, Martindale was destroyed with injuries too this year. So, look, it happens with coaches and coordinators. They just don't see the eye to eye. They need a new voice. You know, coach might want to do one thing, coordinator's doing the other. It piles up a little bit. It builds up a little bit over the course of a year. And the head coach decides, you know, he wants to bring somebody new in. So,
yep.
It's not a reflection on Martindale. He's done, you know, he's a very aggressive coach. And sometimes, you know, he's very aggressive in times that maybe he shouldn't be. Yeah. You know, but he's a good football guy. He's proven he could, you know, he could run a pretty good defense, man. So,
yeah.
You know, Jerry, I'm just very curious to see what happens with Patrick Graham.
Yeah, I know.
Like I said, you know, if he stays here in the organization, you know, if he stays as a coordinator, I'm curious to see what happens with Graham when a new guy gets here. If Graham doesn't become head coach, you know, he's kind of a, you know, kind of a dark horse in this, but I'm curious to see if the new head coach keeps him, Jerry, you know.
It also, but keeping him also gives you credibility on the defensive side of the ball. I it's the strongest side by a mile. I would like to see him stay just because I like him. I like his scheme. I like that. I like what he did with less, especially 2 years ago. You know, he didn't have that second corner, and that was the strength of the team. And then this year, started off slow, got strong down the stretch, kept him in a lot of games. But I also think it builds some credibility with a very popular defensive coach that players have bought into that system, and a lot of those defenders are still going to be there next year. So for a number of reasons, I'd like him to stay, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. That'll be the head coach's call. I'm just curious to see whether that he does stay. You know, that would be interesting. So,
yep.
Yeah, let's see who they get in here first, and then they'll decide. You know.
Yep. And you said
especially it's probably especially when you have a guy like Wink Martindale out there. You know.
Yeah.
A guy might want a new head coach. Might want to go with him. Right. You know. Might be some kind of connection with him.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have one with Graham.
Yep.
I mean, what happens? I mean, say Brian Flores gets his job.
Graham, I
mean, he let Graham walk to the Giants.
Right.
Dude, you're not letting a guy, you know, a guy make a lateral move. That's not a promotion. If you were getting along with him 100%, I'm sorry, dude.
And
if
I thought I saw,
thigh, yeah. If you thought that highly of him, Jerry,
yeah,
running your defense,
yeah,
there's no way you let him walk to be a coordinator to another team.
Yeah,
it's not like he was, you know, a secondary coach, a defensive backs coach, right. And now he's getting a promotion, which everybody does. This was a lateral move, which was weird, you know?
I saw that I believe he's interviewing for the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive coordinator position.
Yeah, Graham. Yeah, supposedly he got, right? He's going in to talk to Tomlin. So
is that his contingency plan if Brian Flores gets hired then?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you know, him and Tomlin over there could be a good mix,
yeah.
You know, in Pittsburgh. Don't know. You know, we'll get some answers soon. If I hear anything, I'll put it out. But
that would be the ultimate players coach staff. You'd run through a wall with that coaching staff. I mean, I like Tomlin as it is. I'd love to play for a guy like Mike Tomlin. Then you add Patrick Graham to that. Oh, my God. That's a popular coaching staff, man.
Yeah. So we'll get some answers in the next few days, bro.
Yep. We'll drop our next podcast probably, Monday? Because we'll have a new coach by then, I would imagine.
Well, you know, let's see when the presser is. Probably drop it after the presser.
Yeah, good point. Okay.
After meet with him and stuff, you know.
And if it's Flores, you can speak Brooklynese to him.
Meh. So we'll see. You know, next week. So I expect something Saturday. I got to be honest with you, Jerry. I think it's going to be Saturday. And if not, probably no later than Monday. So.
Yep. Yeah. Good stuff, dude. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Good stuff, man. All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. And for a digital subscription, go to Magster. MAGZTER. All right, guys. Remember, Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.